الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد, in our previous class, we're discussing two narrations the author he mentioned from Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما, and likewise a narration from Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه, the clarification of some detailed forbidden transactions that carry gharar, uncertainties and factors that are unknown, thus making the transaction impermissible. The first narration was with regards to the hadith, which is known as hadith Habal al-Habala, and that is selling an animal in the womb, that is not even born or alive yet, or even one that's the child of the child in the womb. We have seen details with regards to this in our previous class. And likewise, the discussion of the narration of the prohibition of selling fruits before they ripen. The hadith that we're discussing in our previous class of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, naha an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an bay' al-thamara qabla budu'i salahiha. Naha al-ba'i' wal-mushtari. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forbade selling The thamara. Here we say fruits, but what is intended is the crops, not fruits like fakiha only, that which maybe some may understand from the word fruits in the English language. The thamara, meaning the product or the produce of the plants that yield fruits and crops, So dates are included, as has been mentioned, dates and grapes, as well as grains, and also other crops as well are included. We discussed yesterday the kitha, which is the khiyar, the cucumber, and the badinjan, which is the eggplant. All of these type of crops that yield produce and the likes like this, this is what is being referred to. It's not allowed to sell it before qabla budu as-salah. And again, the translation here is to mean that it ripens. But also some maybe they misunderstand what is intended by ripening. We discussed two points for the permissibility of selling, when it becomes permissible to sell these crops. One is it is budu as-salah, any meaning whenever they start to change color and to ripen, or they reach that stage that it's known that they start to ripen by changing colors or by becoming soft or by the sweetness being seen and the water collecting inside of the fruit and the likes like this. This is a clear evident sign, it's ripening, that it is ripening. Also, we mentioned along with that as well that it would reach a period that normally the farmers, they know if the crops, they reach a certain level in their growth. After that period, many of the factors that they're exposed to are normally gone or normally not considered, meaning it will pass a particular stage after that, although it's not time for harvest just yet. It's commonly known with the people of experience that the crops are going to make it this season. Although it's not entirely ripened. So somebody wouldn't say, for example, oh, there's some bananas in Walmart that are not ripened. No, they're ripened, but they're just not ripened to the taste that you like. And this is not what is intended here. When we say ripening, we shouldn't misunderstand. The term here is budu as-salah, meaning that it's good, it's clear, it's evident now that it's begun to ripen and it's good, it's going to be good for consumption, along with the fact that it's reached that period that normally the crops, they will survive after that. So here, the crop, maybe it hasn't completely ripened, meaning it will still be some time before the farmers, they harvest the crop. Maybe there will still be a period before the farmers, they even harvest the crop. So it's allowed for him to sell it now, and it's allowed for another to purchase it now, even before they harvest. He will keep it on the crops. They will stay with the farmer, they will stay on the actual plants until the harvest comes. But now they belong to it's allowed for him to sell them. Before that, it's not allowed for him to sell them. No doubt if he harvested them, then of course it's and they're healthy and good, then it's allowed for him. It's allowed for him to sell them. So the point is now is that before this period of budu as-salah, which is translated to mean ripen, but maybe it's not intended what has crossed the minds of some. Any ripening, meaning that it's completely to this extent that it's, for example, the banana is completely yellow and soft and sweet. Rather, there's a period before that. It's still considered ripe. It's still considered ripe and good and edible and ready for consumption. But maybe it will sit. And if you let it sit after it's been harvested, it will even ripen more and become sweeter and sweeter. This is not what we're talking about. This is not what we're talking about. We're talking about crops that are in the field. Crops that are in the field. Selling crops that are in the field. Selling crops. This is with regards to the farmers. Farmers selling crops in an orchard or in a garden or in a field. And the likes like this. They farm these crops. When can they sell them? When can they sell them? They can't sell them until budu as-salah. To budu as-salah. What does that mean? In the other narration we took from Anas radiallahu anhu, hatta yasfarra aw yahmar, until they become red or yellow. This was with regards to the dates. This was with regards to the dates, whenever they become red or whenever they become yellow. As for the grapes, whenever they become moist, and they also you can see the water in them. You can see the water in them and they become moist, and you can tell that they have become sweet. And the other, and each crop, it has its particular way, you need to ripen, or whenever it reaches this period when it's known. So every crop is different. Every crop is different. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, انظروا إلى ثمره إذا أثمر وينع. انظروا إلى ثمره إذا أثمر وينع. إن في ذلكم لآيات لقوم يؤمنون. Look into these crops. انظر إلى ثمره. Look to these crops whenever it ripens and becomes good. So these are from the signs of Allah Azza wa Jalla. These are from the signs of Allah Azza wa Jalla from both aspects. What am I referring to? The kawniyya and the shar'iyya. The kawniyya and the shar'iyya. These are from the signs of Allah Azza wa Jalla in His creation, in the universe, in the creation around us. You look into these crops and how they go from one stage to another. They begin as seeds and then they grow. They grow. They're dead. They're not alive. But they came from something that's alive and it's not dead. The seed comes from another plant. And then that dead seed that goes in the ground in that dark area, and then water comes to it, and then it sprouts, and then it grows, and then it produces fruits. It produces fruits. This one is red, and this one is yellow, and this one is green, and this one is purple, and the like side. This one is sweet, this one is bitter, this one is a grain, this one is a fruit. SubhanAllah. انظروا إلى ثمره إذا أثمر وينيع إن في ذلكم لآيات لقوم يؤمنون. Indeed, in this there are signs for people who believe. So these are the universal signs indicating the majesty and the power and authority and command and supreme knowledge and wisdom of Allah and His great mercy and His vast mercy. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He does what He wills. He makes this one red and this one blue. It makes this one sweet and this one bitter. And this one grows and this one dies. This is the command of Ar-Rabb, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in these things that He causes to grow, that He brings into existence, that He creates and nourishes and sustains, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are rulings with regards to them. For example, these crops, you can't sell them until it's clear and known that they have survived the process of growing. And now normally they're going to be beneficial and good. And if a person were to buy them, he's not going to take any great losses or harms and the likes like this. And normally the transaction will be successful. And the buyer and the seller, they'll both profit and benefit. As for before that, then there are ambiguities and there are uncertainties and there's different factors that are unknown that many times will lead to disputes and lead to dissension in the hearts. So therefore it's forbidden. So these are from the legislative signs of Allah Azza wa Jalla, indicating His majesty and His complete knowledge, and that this is a religion that is revealed from above the heavens. That this is a religion and a law and legislation that is revealed from above the heavens. So this is what we're discussing in our previous class. But the narration of Anas, it has some additional benefits. And we read again, the author, he says, عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى أن بيع الثمار حتى تزهي. That the author, he mentioned the narration of Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه. He says that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he forbade selling the thimar. The thimar literally translated means the fruits, but it's not intended the fakiha. There's a fakiha and there's a thamara. There's a thamara and there's a fakiha. The fakiha is a fruit. The fakiha is like an apple. is like an apple. This is called fakiha, but it's also a thamara. So there's plants that produce fruits and crops. Those beneficial things that come from these plants, they're called thamara. Some of them are actual fruits, and others maybe they are vegetables. Others, they are vegetables, but that's the fruit of that plant. That's the fruit of that plant. It's a vegetable, or this one is a potato, or this one is a carrot, and the likes like this. These are crops that are grown. All of this is included. All of this is included. Any of that, they have to reach a particular stage in growth that that is lawful for them to be sold. So this is what is forbidden. Hatta tuzhiya. The thimar, any of the crops, the fruits of the plants and the trees and the likes like this. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forbade selling them. Hatta tuzhiya. Hatta tuzhiya. So this is a word that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in this narration. The verb is azha, yuzhi, azhi, azha, yuzhi, azhi, izha'an. You can read this narration, hatta tuzhiya, or hatta tuzha, hatta tuzha. Qila wa ma tuzhi, they said, now it was said to him, what does that mean? And he's asking about the interpretation of this word. What does that mean? Hatta tuzhi, whenever the crops, they make al-izha. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified the details. Qala, hatta tahmarra, until they become red. Until they become red, meaning until they ripen. Until they become red, meaning that until they change colors. We've seen in our previous class from the means of identifying this period is that certain crops, they are one color, and then whenever they reach that particular stage in their growth, they change colors. They change colors. Unzuru ila thamarihi, ila athmara wa yani. This is all from the majesty and the power of Allah Azza wa Jal. The power of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is the time whenever it's considered al-izha. And al-izha, this is the interpretation of budu as-salah. Budu as-salah. Any of the goodness now is seen in it. Meaning it's seen that it's going to be a successful crop. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Although maybe there's still some period left before it's harvested. Before it's harvested. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions, قَالَ أَرَأَيْتَ إِذَا مَنَعَ اللَّهُ الثَّمَرَةَ بِمَا يَسْتِحِلُّ أَحَدُكُمْ مَالَ أَخِيهِ. Do you not see that if Allah, He forbade the fruits, if He forbade the crops, any from producing, if He forbade the crops, any from producing, and from yielding, or from any benefit, بِمَا يَسْتِحِلُّ أَحَدُكُمْ مَالَ أَخِيهِ. How could you consider the wealth of your brother lawful? This here is the wording of Al-Imam Muslim. The wording of Bukhari, بِمَا يَأْخُذُ أَحَدُكُمْ مَالَ أَخِيهِ. How will one of you take the wealth of his brother? The wealth of his brother. Meaning if a person, he sold the crops, and a man, he came and he purchased them. He purchased the crops, and then the crops are wiped out. And then the buyer, he gave the money, and the seller, the farmer, he received the cash, and he handed over nothing in return. He handed over nothing in return. Or handed over half of what was paid for. Or the quality of the crops was much less than the price and what was considered in the price, or what was expected in the final outcome, because of a disease, or because of a plague, or because of cold weather, or because of rain, or because of severe winds, or because of a drought, or because of great heat, so on and so forth. Something happened in the process, and now the person who purchased that, he did not get what he had paid for. He did not get what he had agreed upon. So now this is going to lead to disputes. And even if there's no disputes, it's going to lead to this person's right being violated and an injustice. And likewise going to lead to someone eating the wealth of the people unlawfully. Taking the wealth of the people unlawfully. And all of this is forbidden. So from the benefits of this narration here, number one, the prohibition of this affair. And this has proceeded. And we discussed that in our previous class. But from the additional benefits to people of knowledge, they mentioned, we see here that a person is asking for details. What does this mean? What does this mean? وَمَا تُزْهِ وَمَا تُزْهِ. What is that? What does this word mean? So whenever there are legislative rulings and the likes like this being discussed, if a person, he's unaware of something, he will ask. If he doesn't know the meaning of a word, or he doesn't understand it in this context, or he's just unaware of the issue and the likes, or if he had a misunderstanding or misconception, or a doubt with regards to that, then he will ask. He will ask the people who are qualified. So this is something good. So it's legislated in a good way for a student to seek an understanding from his teacher if the teacher is teaching. And all of this is with proper manners and in proper time. All of this is in with proper manners and proper time, and for asking questions, so on and so forth. But in any case, this is a good way. This is from seeking knowledge, to ask. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ ذِكْرِ أَنْ كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. You must ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. If you do not know. Also in this narration here, a number of the people of knowledge have derived the issue. مسألة وضع الجائحة. وضع الجائحة. This is the issue in the religion that the people of knowledge, they discuss. And if you had al-hadith, dalilun ala wad'i al-ja'iha. Wad'i al-ja'iha. And this means relief because of calamities. Relief because of calamities. So here, if there's a calamity that befalls the crops, for example, and a person, he had purchased the crops, but then before he can receive them, something happens to them. Before he can receive them, something happens to them. For example, he purchased them after it's lawful for him, but they have not harvested yet. They have not harvested yet. And after that, a great rain comes and drowns them out, and they all die. They drowns them out and they all die. So what will we say at this point now? We say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَرَأَيْتَ إِذَا مَنَعَ اللَّهُ ثَمَرَ بِمَا يَسْدِحِلُ أَحَدُكُمْ مَلَ أَخِيهِ. Do you not see that if Allah forbids the crops from producing and yielding, then in what manner will you consider the wealth of your brother lawful? Will you consider the wealth of your brother lawful? So therefore the wealth is not lawful here in this case. The wealth is not lawful here in this case. And so this is an issue that people of knowledge have differed with regards to, but in any case, this is what is evident here. This is what is evident here, and this is the position of the Maliki and then Hanabila and also Al-Imam al-Shafi fi al-Qadim. Al-Imam al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions in his commentary on this portion here, he says, fihi, and in this narration, جوائح الثمار على البائع, that the calamities that happen with regards to the crops, then the liability is on the seller. The liability is on the seller. وَلَوْ أَبْرَأَهُ مُشْتَرِي مِنْهَا عِنْدَ الْأَقْدِ. Even if the purchaser, he freed the seller from that in the contract. And meaning if the person, he bought them, and whenever he bought them in the contract, he says, if something happens to the crops, you're free of liability. He's saying here that that condition is not accepted. That condition is not valid. Rather, the seller, he's liable initially, in the origin. There's some details that we discussed, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So therefore, if there are calamities that befall the crops, then the liability is on the seller, the owner of the crops. Then the seller, the one who is selling. And then Shaykh al-Sa'di rahimahullah, he makes a number of examples likewise. And he, in comparison to this ruling, other issues that take the same ruling. وَمِثْلُ ذَلِكَ الْمَبِيعِ بِكَيْدٍ أَوْ وَزْنٍ أَوْ عَدٍ أَوْ ذَرْعٍ قَبْلَ قَبْضِهِ. قَبْلَ قَبْضِهِ. And like that, likewise, the things that are sold by way of the kayl. By way of the kayl, which is the volume, selling by volume, or by weight, by the wazn, or by the ad, by counting them, by counting them, or by the dhar, which is measurement, before receiving them. So items that are sold in this manner, likewise, if something happens to them before the person who purchased them receives them, and he gets his hands on them, then likewise, the liability is on the seller. The liability is on the seller. There are details, but this is the origin. This is the origin. If a man, he said, I'm going to sell you a pound of this or a pound of that, or I'm going to sell you this many phones, for example, and then he purchases them, but he says, well, I have to bring them from the store, and then when he gets to the store is robbed. Who is liable? The seller is liable, not the purchaser. He purchased them, and they're his, but he did not get his hands on them yet, and he did not have the ability likewise. And so the liability remains on the seller in this circumstance. This is an example of that. So likewise, he says, رَحِيمَهُ وَمِثْلُهُ الْمَبِيعُ بِصِفَةٍ أَوْ رُؤْيَةٍ مُتَقَدِّمَةٍ. And likewise, something that is sold by description, or somebody seen it before, meaning that he purchased something based upon a description that he's seen, or he actually seen the item before, he purchased it, and then whenever he purchased it and he received it, it's contrary to the description. Who's liable for this? Huh? The seller. The seller, he's liable for this. We discussed this before. This was fi al-khiyar, al-khulf, fi sifa. Nam al-khulf, fi sifa. Whenever a person, he purchases something based on a particular description, and then whenever it arrives, it's contrary to that description, the buyer, the seller, he has to rectify that. He has to rectify that. Either he has to give the money back, or he has to pay the difference between the item and the manner that was purchased and the manner that it is now. And this is up to the option. This is according to the option, or the option is given, and the option is given to the purchaser. To the purchaser. So this is an example of that. And all of this is coming from the similar rulings. All of this is coming from similar rulings and understanding. He says, Rahimahullah, وَمِثْلُهُ إِذَا مَنَعَ الْبَائِعَ الْمُشْتَرِيَ قَبْضَ الْمَبِيعَ ظُلْمًا حَتَّى تَرِفْ. And likewise, the same ruling, if the seller, he prohibited the buyer from obtaining the item unlawfully or unrightfully until it was destroyed. Until it was destroyed. So if he purchased it, but then something happened and the seller did not let him actually get his hands on the item, he did not let him obtain the item until something happened to the item, now the liability is upon the seller. Although it's his item, it's his ownership, and he purchased it, so now the ownership goes to the buyer. But the seller, he oppressed him or he did him wrong and delayed him in obtaining it and getting it in his possession. And in that period, something happened to it. It was destroyed and the likes, or was stolen or was lost, so on and so forth. And then the one who's liable in this case is the seller. And then whenever we ask for the evidence and proof, all of this is going back to this narration here. أَرَأَيْتَ لَوْ مَنَعَ اللَّهُ ثَمَرَ بِمَا يَسْتَحِلُ أَحَدُكُمْ مَلَ أَخِيهِ. Do you not see if Allah forbade the fruit, then in what manner do you consider the wealth of your brother lawful? Do you consider taking the wealth of your brother lawful? Meaning that it's not lawful, you're taking it unlawfully. You're taking it unlawfully. Likewise, Al-Imam al-Sa'di, he says, رَحِمَهُ تَعَالَى فَهَذِهِ الثَّمَانِيَةِ إِذَا تَلِفَتْ قَبْلَ الْقَبْضِ فَمِنْ ضَمَانِ الْبَاعِ. These eight things here, if they are destroyed before the purchaser obtains them and gets them in his hand, then the liability is upon the seller. Then all of these are examples here of how this narration is applied. All of these are examples here of this ruling that is derived from this narration. The issue here is called wadu al-ja'iha. Wadu al-ja'iha. This is relief from calamities. The payment from because of the calamities. The people of Nanas, they mentioned some important points here. Dawabit. For this relief of calamities. Number one, they say, and yakuna at-talafu. Bijaiha amma. That the crops or the things, they'll be destroyed from a general calamity. Yani from arriyah or amtar or amrad wa ma ila dalika. Yani from the winds or from the rain, so on and so forth. Something that's out of the hands of the people. Number two, and yahdutha at-talafu qabla tamakkun al-mushtari, that it will be destroyed before the purchaser has the ability to obtain the item. As for if, for example, the farmer or the seller of the item, he has the item ready, and he tells the purchaser, your item is ready, it's available, you can pick it up anytime you like, or I can meet you, so on and so forth. He makes the item available for him. And it's ready for him. He says, you know what? I'm busy right now. I'll come tomorrow. And then something happens to it in that period. Who's liable now? The seller, he has fulfilled the rights. And he's not negligent here. Rather, he has facilitated the affair. And the purchaser, he made a decision to not come get it in due time. And something happened in that period that he had initiated and allowed. Therefore, the liability is on him. All of these affairs are clarifying the great details of our religion. Alhamdulillah. So, number two again, and yahdutha at-talafu qabla tamakkun al-mushtari min al-istifadati min al-mabi'i, before the purchaser has the opportunity to benefit from the item. As for if he had the opportunity to benefit from it or to obtain it in the likes like this, and it was ready and available for him, and he delayed or he was negligent himself, then the liability is on him. then the liability is on him. Number three, and yakuna at-talafu kharijan an iradati al-mushtari wa ghayri mutasabbabin fihi. That the item will be destroyed, will be lost. And that the fact that this occurs, this is outside of the intention of the purchaser. The purchaser has nothing to do with this. He did not intend that, or he did not want that, nor did he have a hand in that whatsoever. He did not have a hand in that whatsoever. Like the rain, for example, come and destroy that. Or a thief came, for example, or a fire wiped out everything. And the likes like this. He did not have any hand in that. And he did not intend that. Likewise, then now the issue here, or the liability will be on the seller. The liability will be on the seller. So again, deriving from here, لو فرط المشتري في الجذاذ أو القبض حتى تلف فالضمان عليه نعم لتفريطه فالضمان عليه هو لتفريطه بعد وقت الحصاد أو القبض بعد وقت الحصاد أو القبض. So if the purchaser, he was negligent in harvesting those crops, for example. The farmer, he said, your crops are ready, come harvest them. The crops are ready, now is the time. They're ready for harvest, they're ready for picking. And the likes like this. And he didn't come until something happened to them. Now the liability is on the buyer. The liability is on the buyer. Or if they said, your items are ready, come pick them up. And he said, I'll be there tomorrow, or I'll come next week, or I'm not able to come now. And the likes like this. And then something happened in that period. Then the liability is on the buyer likewise. And the principle here we had taken previously, and this is from the beneficial qawaid al-qawaid al-fiqhiyya in this chapter of buying and selling, al-kharaju bil-dhaman, and that means that obtaining profit, this goes along with liability. Obtaining profit goes along with liability. So the one who is going to make profit from the item, he's the one who's liable for it. So al-kharaju بالضمان. This is a fundamental principle that the profit, making profit and obtaining profit, this is accompanied with liability. So he will take the profit and gain that he obtains from his item, and likewise he will bear the loss of that. So we're not saying, oh, if you sell it, you get money for that, but if something happens, it's on him. لا, it goes both ways. له غنمه وعليه غرمه. له غنمه وعليه غرمه. He has the right to benefit from it. And likewise, he will take the loss for it. This is what dhaman means, liability. Liability. So here, the crops, the point discussing now, the crops, although they have reached that initial stage, if something happens outside of the hands or the intention of the mushtari, and they're destroyed, for example, by calamities, then the dhaman is still upon the seller. Right? It's still upon the seller. Because they're not completely ready, he's not able to deliver. So the purchaser, he purchased them, but they're still in the field. And he's waiting until the day of harvest to collect his purchase, to collect his items that he purchased. You understand the point they were making? So they reached a period now where it's allowed to sell them. Everybody with me? And he purchased them. Somebody purchased them. Now, maybe there's a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, whatever, before the day of harvest is, before they're actually going to be ready for harvest. And that period, something happens to them outside of the hands of either one of them, then the liability is on the farmer, on the one who's selling. And this narration here is the evidence for that. So we were discussing, there's another wording likewise in Sahih Muslim. And there's another narration likewise in the same light, in Sahih Muslim from the Hadith of Jabir, radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لو بعت من أخيك ثمرا فأصابته جائحة فلا يحل لك أن تأخذ منه شيئا بما تأخذ مال أخيك بغير حق بما تأخذ مال أخيك بغير حق. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if you sold to your brother some fruit, some crops, and then a calamity befell them, It is not allowed for you to take anything from him whatsoever, the price of those crops. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Bima ta'khudhu mala akhika bighayri haqq?" How could you take the wealth of your brother without right? So here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is clarifying that the wealth is taken without right. So that means the liability is upon him. So those crops are still in his possession. and he is the one who's going to benefit from them and sell them. If they're good, he's going to make the profit, and he's going to benefit from that. So likewise, he's still liable. He's still liable. Likewise, he's still liable. So in our previous class, we're discussing the issue here. Another benefit that's also found here, it's in the same narration. We discussed it yesterday, that this is an indication that it's allowed to sell after budu salah. It's not allowed before that, but after that, it's allowed. So this is a clarification, likewise, of the good teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when people are engaged in transactions and dealings or things that are haram, that they're shown the right way. You don't do it before this time, but after that time you do it. Alhamdulillah. You sell it after that period, it's good and lawful. And you make money in this manner. This is good. And you cooperate upon this affair, upon right piety and righteousness in this manner by selling crops in this way. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Maybe we don't realize that today, but much of the wealthiest people, they are farmers. The people who have farmland, they make a lot of money. Farming is agriculture and the likes like this. This is a very prosperous business to be involved in agriculture and farming and to have farmland and to have farm animals and likes like this. They have fields of crops, and they all are eaten by the people daily. They crop, they work in the fields, and they grow the crops by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and this is a great business. This is a great, great business, and a great means of earning a living, So it's allowed to sell the crops, but in this manner, after this period has come, known here as budu as-salah. So we see now it's not allowed to sell the crops before that, before budu as-salah, before they're good, the maturity is clear, it has become evident. But there's an exception to that rule. Just like it's forbidden to sell the animal in the womb of the animal, the baby, the fetus in the womb of the animal, but there's an exception to that likewise. When is that? If you buy the whole animal, if you buy the mother animal, and she's pregnant, it's allowed to purchase the animal now. It's allowed to purchase the animal now. Likewise, if somebody, he has a farm or he has an orchard, for example, he has an orchard, a field full of crops, and they have fruits on them, or they have fruits on them and the likes like this, but they have not reached that period yet. It's allowed for him to sell that field, or to sell a portion of the field, or to sell one tree, for example. He can sell a tree. I'll sell you this tree for such and such and such. So somebody couldn't say, "Oh, but the crops here, they're not matured yet. They're not matured yet." And I said, "No, this is allowed here. This is allowed here because he's not selling the crops. He's selling the tree with the crops on them. So now the crops are not being purchased any independently. Rather, they're being purchased secondarily. And what is being purchased initially is the actual tree itself. So likewise, the animal, barakallahu fikum, if there's a cow, for example. And the cow is pregnant. We couldn't say, "I'll sell you when that baby is born, I'll sell it to you for this much." Is this lawful? Why is it not lawful? Because of gharar, right? So we all know the ruling now, but we want to make details because some people, they still maybe don't know the details. What does that mean? Maybe it'll be a miscarriage. Maybe the animal is going to die. Maybe it will be born dead. Maybe the animal will be born sick. Maybe it'll only have three legs, for example. Something will happen to it. It'll come out deformed. Or maybe he's expecting for it to be a female cow. It came out a male cow. So on and so forth. It's not certain that the existence of the item for sale. No one is sure that the animal is going to give birth successfully and the baby cow, the calf, is going to be even alive. So no one knows this affair. So therefore it's forbidden. And if that's the case for that, the calf in the womb, then the calf that's not even born yet, as we discussed in the previous class, right? Some of the interpretation that the habala is not selling the calf in the womb, but rather the calf in the womb will be born and then grow and be impregnated and then give birth. This is the one that's for sale. So this one is even greater and further away from knowing the reality of that. And maybe initially the animal will be born. The animal will be born. But maybe it's a male, so it can't give birth. Right? So it can't give birth. Or maybe it's a female, but then it dies. Or maybe it's a female, and then it grows, and then it gives birth, and the animal dies. It gives birth to a dead animal, for example. That's so many factors you can and ambiguities and uncertainties that now this is not allowed. This is not allowed for this reason. For this reason, we save this question. For this reason, it's not allowed. For this reason, but if you're going to buy the animal, the mother animal, while it's pregnant, it's allowed. It's allowed, right? Because you're purchasing the animal, not the one in the womb. You're purchasing the mother, not the one in the womb, right? The one in the womb is coming along because you can't purchase the mother except if you purchase the animal in the womb of the mother. So the mother's pregnant. So when you purchase the animal, the mother, then this other animal's following along. This other animal is following along. You understand the point? Same thing with the trees. Same thing with the crops. So you can't sell the crops that are not mature yet, but you can sell the trees that have crops on them that are not mature yet. So the people of knowledge, they derived the principle from this. What was that? Ahsant. Abshir. Yujuzu taba'an ma la yujuzu istiqlalan. Naam, yujuzu taba'an ma la yujuzu istiqlalan. That is allowed, something is allowed, any following or as an attachment coupled with something that's not allowed independently. It's not allowed independently. So it's not allowed to sell those crops independently before they mature. It's not allowed to sell the animal in the womb until it's born, right? Independently. But if you buy the mother animal while it's pregnant, this is allowed. If you buy the whole crop, the whole tree, while it has crops on it, now it's allowed. So that's your tree now. So if those crops produce, alhamdulillah, that produce is yours. If something happens to the crops, then that's your loss, because al-kharaj bil-daman. Now he purchased those trees. Likewise, he purchased the animal. So now if the animal gives birth to a live and healthy baby, alhamdulillah, that's his benefit. He can use it, he can sell it, he can do what he likes to. If the animal dies or is born with problems or issues, then he takes the loss. He takes the loss. So there's no problems here. Al-kharaju bil-daman. So now that he has gained the item and he has ownership over the item, then he will benefit from the benefit of that, and he will take the loss from the loss of that. And there's no issues here for disputes or for problems. And there's no issues here for disputes or for problems. So there's wisdom in this affair. Al-hikmatu min al-jawaz. The wisdom for this issue here, the permissibility of selling these crops in this manner, or selling the animal in this manner. We've seen the reason why it's forbidden and the wisdom from that. The reason why it's forbidden and the wisdom from that. It's forbidden because of the gharar and the jahala, and because of the uncertain factors, and because many times it leads to disputes, and it leads to problems, and hatred, and animosity, which is a violation of a fundamental principle of the religion that Allah, He calls to be united upon the deen, to be united upon al-Islam, properly, and correctly, inwardly and outwardly. So therefore, that's forbidden. But whenever it's following law, it's not, whenever these affairs are following behind another fundamental, then this is considered lawful. And this is from the flexibility of the legislation in observing all of the different rights and situations of the human being and the best interest of the people in buying and selling and the likes like this. So it's encompassing from all aspects. The legislation of Allah Azza wa Jalla is encompassing your life in entirety. Before you're born, there are rights that are established to your life. There are rights that have been legislated, established to your life. Your father is supposed to choose a woman, that deen. And whenever they have intercourse, they're supposed to remember the name of Allah and seek refuge with Allah from the devil. And the likes like this. All of these affairs, this is before the child is even born. Whenever the child is consumed, whenever the child is consummated and the likes like this, or whenever the child is being born, it becomes a fetus, there's a law with him. There's a law with him. If somebody hit the mother, for example, in the stomach and did something to that fetus, there's blood money. There's blood money, there's rights. This is not allowed. There's a right for that fetus. There's a right for the fetus. There's a law and legislation prescribed that must be followed, even for the fetus before it's even born. Then whenever it's born, likewise, there's rights. And there's rights. And whenever it grows, there's rights. There's rights. وَالْوَلِدَاتُ يُرْضِعْنَا أَوْلَادَهُنَّ حَوْلَيْنِ كَامِلَيْنِ There's verses about these affairs, clarifying the details of how to live your life. How to live your life. And those who learn those details and they live by them and abide by them, they are the successful. They are the successful. They have a happy life. They have a good life. This is the means to have a happy life, a good life, to learn the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's encompassing all aspects. All aspects. So from here, Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah, he would say, إِذِ اسْتَطَعْتَ أَلَّا تَحُكَّ رَأْسَكَ إِلَّا بِأَثَرْ فَفَعْلْ إِذِ اسْتَطَعْتَ أَلَّا تَحُكَّ رَأْسَكَ إِلَّا بِأَثَرٍ فَفْعَلْ If you're able to not even scratch your head except with a narration, then do it. And if you're able to not even scratch your head in a particular manner, except by some narration that has reached you from the pious and righteous before you, then do it. And it doesn't mean to actually look for a narration about scratching the head. What it means is to be diligent, to hold fast to the way of the pious predecessors. That you hold fast to the narrations that were handed down, the traditions of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sunnah, laws and legal ways, and that which his companions were upon. Radiallahu anhum, and the tabi'una, atba' tabi'in after them, and the scholars of hadith. And the scholars of hadith, because this affair has been transmitted, and this affair is preserved. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا ذِكْرًا وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ That indeed, Allah, He says, indeed we have revealed the reminder, the dhikr, and this legislation and law, this Qur'an, and indeed we're going to preserve it. So the Qur'an is preserved, and the Qur'an is preserved, the recitation is preserved, the words, they are preserved, and likewise the law and legislation that is found therein is preserved, with the preservation of the sunnah, and likewise the Arabic language. We have seen this in a number of other classes. So from the wisdom of this, of the permissibility here, of these exceptions, selling these items, meaning the principle, يُجُوزُ تَبَعَ مَا لَا يُجُوزُ اسْتِقْلَالٍ تَحْقِيقُ الْمَصْلَحَةِ وَتَقْلِيلَ النِّزَاعَاتِ To actualize the best interest and benefit and to minimize disputes and problems. Because whenever you sell these items by themselves, now there's غَرَى and جَهَالَة. And this leads to disputes and leads to problems, but whenever they're sold along with an original item attached to it or coupled with it, not intended for itself specifically, now that ghara is gone, and likewise the problems that come about from that are minimized, and there's great benefit for both people involved. Now, also from the benefits of the wisdom of this legislation here, raf'u al-haraj. This is also from the fundamentals of the religion, adinu yusrun. الدين يسر ما جعل عليكم في الدين من حرج. Allah has not made any hardship or haraj, difficulty in the religion. So the Islamic legislation observes facilitating and making affairs easy and not being harsh. So the straight path, the Sharia of Allah Azza wa Jalla, is a balanced and moderate path between harshness and extremism, and between negligence and heedlessness. And therefore the legislation. It's flexible. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Bu'ithu bil hanifiyya as-samha." Al-hanifiyya as-samha. I was sent with al-hanifiyya, yani meaning the tawheed of Allah azza wa jalla. The creed is firm. The creed is established. Does not change. There's no flexibility in the creed. Alhamdulillah. Not even from one prophet to the next. All of the prophets, they have the same creed. But the Sharia is considered samha. Aqidah hanifiyya. Sharia samha. The creed is Hanifiyya, any pure Islamic monotheism. Nothing is worthy of worship except for Allah, with no partners. As for the legislation, Samha, it's easy, it's facilitated. If there's ever necessities or hardships or difficulties, then ease comes. And the legislation widens and becomes easier. And then if things come back to normal, then it goes back. And it goes back to the original standard, So this is all from the beauty of Al-Islam. From the beauty of Al-Islam, Alhamdulillah, Alladhi ja'alana Muslimin. Alhamdulillah, Alladhi ja'alana Muslimin. Also, we see here, Hifdhu al-Huquq, observing and preserving the rights of the people. So this is something clear in the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jalla, to observe, to preserve the rights. So whenever the rights could be neglected or they could be taken advantage of in the other situation, then it's forbidden. But whenever the rights here are observed, and whenever they're allowed, يُجُزُ تَبَعًا مَا لَا يُجُزُ إِسْتِقْلَالًا Because now, the rights, they're preserved and they're maintained. The rights are preserved and they are maintained. So in closing, these narrations that we had discussed in the last two classes, these narrations here, we can summarize a benefit that they collectively establish the principle of regulating trade to ensure fairness and prevent harm, and to minimize disputes caused by uncertainty in transactions. These narrations here collectively establish the principle of regulating trade to ensure fairness and prevent harm, and to minimize disputes caused by uncertainty in transactions. After this, the author, he says, and Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma anhu qala naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an tutalaqqa ar-rukban wa yabi'a hadirun libad. Qala faqultu li ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma ma qawluhu hadirun libad. Qala la yakunu lahu simsara. Now the author, he mentioned the narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, that he says the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forbade talaqqi ar-rukban. This has preceded a few classes ago, going out to meet the caravan before they reach the market. Wan yabi'a hadirun libad, and also that the resident will sell for the one coming from out of town. Likewise, this one has preceded as well. And then he says, qala faqultu li ibn Abbas. He said, I said to Ibn Abbas, and the one who's saying this now is Tawus, rahimahullah ibn Kaysan. He says, I said to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, ma qawluhu hadirun libad. What does that mean, hadirun libad? Yani the one who shouldn't sell, the hadir libad, the one who is a resident, he should not sell for the one who's coming from out of town. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says, qala la yakunu lahu simsara, meaning that he will not be a broker for him. Meaning that he will not be a middleman for him. So Allah knows best. This narration, it goes along with the narration that had preceded a few narrations ago about this issue. Some of the people of knowledge have actually, and he pushed it there and mentioned it under that same issue, about the prohibition of talaqqi ar-rukban from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu that has preceded. So the discussion of this narration and that which is related to these issues that have preceded, the author, he mentions this narration here from Ibn Abbas because of his interpretation and he clarifying the meaning of it. So the one who is a resident, and the one who's coming from the desert, he's coming in to sell his items and the likes like this from the Bedou, from the Badia. It's not allowed for him to initially sell for him. And we've seen the wisdom and the issues about that. And then Tawus is asking why. What does it mean? Sell for him. He says that he will not be the Simsar. The Simsar is a broker. And he's the wasilt, the middleman. So this is the interpretation of Ibn Abbas and رضي الله عنهما. In our next class, inshallah, we discuss the issue of samsara. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.